This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
I'm going to share a little bit this morning. A while ago, my little girl, she was sitting, we were somewhere and she was sitting and she had this far off look. And then I just remembered at that stage how my dad used to say to us as children, a penny for your thoughts, you know. And I said to her, a penny for your thoughts. And she's like, huh? What do you mean, Dad? And I just explained it to her. And I said to her, what are you thinking about? And she replied and said, no, Dad, I'm just staring. And I said, oh, that's healthy. You know, it's okay. You can do that, you know. But the thing is with our minds and our thoughts, you know, you don't know what I'm thinking about this morning. And I certainly don't know what your thoughts are on currently, what's in your heart. You know, we can, if we can discern a little bit, we can see in each other's body language. If someone is sick, someone is down, somebody maybe not feeling very well. But you know what? I can't read your minds. We can't read each other's minds. Sometimes we've got a feeling about, you know, someone we may be married to, and you've got, you know, if something isn't right or something like that. But you know, our minds are our own in a sense, you know. It's something, you know, it's that the person next to you won't necessarily know what is happening in your mind. So I'm going to share a little bit on that because and God is just dealing with me in my own life regarding that. And so I have to practice what I preach, Manfred, just to be very honest before you guys as well. So I'm going to share a little bit from the book of Colossians this morning. And basically, Paul writes the letter to the Colossians in response. While he was in Ephesus, there was a guy with the name Epaphras. Oh, kind of knowing like a sinny. You know, he was visiting Paul there, or he was visiting in Ephesus. He was from the church, he was from Corinth. Colossians, Colossia for that matter. And basically, he came to salvation. You know, he gave his life to the Lord, his life was changed. And he then went back, and that is where the church, where the book of Colossians come from, or the church was birthed there through this man. He went back, he shared the good news, he shared the gospel, the church was born, and it was a relatively young church at this stage when Paul was writing to them. And at that stage, Epaphras, he was there with Paul, and unfortunately, he brought back some not so good news about challenges, like in many of the other churches or letters that Paul wrote, that there were things that was really not going so well, people from the outside or people bringing a bit teaching that wasn't so kosher in a sense. And Epaphras was there with Paul, and Paul was writing to the church. It's a relatively young church, and Paul is basically writing to this church, encouraging them to grow into maturity in Christ. Okay, so praise God, we've got this letter, I believe inspired by the Holy Spirit from the hand of Paul and the Holy Spirit. And you know, it is of such a value for that church, but it's of value for me and for you as well here today. I want to start off by reading the first few verses to you from Colossians chapter 3. So just remember, it's Paul writing here to the church, encouraging them to hold on to Christ, to grow into maturity. And it's something that we all can relate to, because hopefully we are all disciples or being discipled or disciple makers. So we are all on this road of sanctification and becoming more like Christ. Amen. Okay, so Paul writes here and he says in verse 3, verse 1 of chapter 3, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also will appear with him in glory. And this is a scripture that's been on my heart. We prayed a little bit and spoke a little bit about it at intercession in the past week. And it's just something I'm saying to God in my own life. God, help me to set my mind on the things of Christ, on the things in heaven. Okay, now I'm going to share quite a little bit about it. Paul starts and he says, we should seek it. We should pursue it. It should be something we want in our lives. Okay, he said, we should set our minds on the things above. And then a bit later on, he explains to us, and I will get to that, what we should put our minds on and what we shouldn't put our minds on. Okay, Paul just gives us good advice. And then, obviously, Paul was a man. He's not just interested in giving good teaching or writing a letter and sounding doctrinally correct or something. Paul wants transformation in people's lives. He wants to see this young church grow, growing maturity. And that will probably be Paul's heart for me and for you as well today, that we keep on growing in this process of discipleship, sanctification. We had a whole sermon series basically over the past few weeks of pursuing God, of following God, of running after God. And basically when Paul says that we should set our minds on the things above, it means that when we look at the world around us and at life, we should look through God's eyes, okay? We should see life from God's perspective. Now, if we think of our old life, or before we knew Christ and the things that occupied our minds, the things that were really important to us, and then after our salvation, the things as Christians that are really important to us, it's a whole lot different. And I just thought back in my own life, you know, I was in a boys' school, and then I worked on a hunting farm with a lot of men, and then in university I was in a hostel or res with a lot of men, and you know, it's not that men are bad or anything, ladies. I know it's Mother's Day. I'm not against the men or anything. But you know, if we don't know the Lord, no matter what company we are in, it's corrupted. It is bad. It is worldly. And if I think back at that years in my teen, late teen years or early 20s, you know, the things that were really important to me and the things that is now important to me, it's not just because I'm 20 years older. It's because of what the Lord have done in my life. Okay, the way he has changed me. And Paul, here, very importantly, he said in a different translation in the Amplified Bible, he said, basically, if you translate it that way, it should be like a habit. It can be translated, we should, from a place of habit, set our minds on the things above. Okay? So I really want to ask you, and I really want to challenge you this morning, to be really honest with yourself. Okay? As I say, you can sit here, I don't know what is in your head or your mind right now, but be honest with yourself regarding your thoughts, especially that. Now, why would Paul say we should set our minds on the things above? He answers it and makes it so clear in verse 3 where he says, "For you have died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God." Okay? Now that you are Christians, you guys in Colossae, you aren't just normal people. You are Christians. You are believers. You've got Christ inside. Okay, they were probably in the context of the New Testament church, when they gave their life to the Lord, they were probably baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. So they are now living a new life in Christ, and that is why Paul writes and he says, "You are dead to that old life. You shouldn't pursue those things." Any worldly desires of worldly pleasure or things like that, you should be dead to that. Now, here's the thing. Can Christians sin? Can Christians have bad thoughts or anything? I mean, Paul is writing to the church here, not just to the world and to unbelievers. Okay? So he's not assuming that they've got this thing totally under control. Otherwise, he would have just said, continue in that, and well done, you've got it right. But he encourages them and say, in this new life, set your minds on the things above. Because what does Paul know? Paul knows what I know in my life and what you probably know as well. That we can battle here in our head. That we can battle with thoughts. That we can battle with sinful thoughts. That when and if those things get a life of their own and that little seed germinates and grows up, you know, it can be very unhealthy for us. It can lead to sin. Okay? And we as Christians aren't exempted from that. We are in no way so holy or anything that, and I'm speaking to myself and on behalf of myself, that we can get things wrong. Okay? Okay. Basically, we also know in John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. He will help us in this process in our lives, in terms of sanctification, what is the things we need to leave behind? What is the things that we need to pursue? So if you are in any sense, sometimes we want to have clarification, or as young Christians, we want to know, is it allowed to do this or that? Can I do that? But you see, the things we think about are very personal. It's not stuff that we share, except if we want to share those things, okay? So basically, the world or people around us doesn't know what's happening in our thought life, but it's so important that there's a real process of sanctification in our thought life, what is happening here in our minds. Now, I'm not a medical doctor. I can't, that's not my calling. And this morning, it's more important to me that I want to convey or communicate a few facts to you. So I'm going to read a few things to you because I want to make a few points. So I want to ask you and I want to encourage you. I'm going to read through a few things. I'm not a neurolog. Okay. So please just stay with me there. When Paul says we should set our minds on the things above. So what is our minds? What is happening in our minds? Where does that come from? Can I read a little bit for you? I will have it up there. You can follow as well. A massive body of research has now shown that the mind-body connection is real. What we think affects us emotionally, intellectually, and physically. So the things that we think about basically affects all of us, our emotions, how we feel, okay? So I don't want to open any unhealthy doors, but if you just think about the person probably in your life that has hurt you the most, the people who said the worst things to you, maybe we had Derek Pufford last year here, and you know, he said when he was about 40 years, he went into ministry, but soon after he discovered that he needed so much healing, especially regarding those things that happened to him when he was a schoolboy, that hurts and stuff that happened there in his life, okay? So the moment that hopefully none of us are offended right now, hopefully we are all good Christians that know how to deal with offense in our lives, but if you were to think about someone that has hurt you or offended you, your heart will probably start to beat faster, you know, if it's 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night, and your mind and your thoughts are starting to think about those persons, okay, you probably will not fall asleep. Your mind is starting to race. Your neck gets a little bit stiff. Maybe you've got a bad feeling in your tummy. I'm talking to people that know life. You've probably experienced it. Those things can keep us awake. But those things are really unhealthy for us. Can I continue? For every thought that you meditate on, there is a physical reaction in your body from the electrical current traveling along the nerves in your brain and the production of various hormones and chemicals that flow throughout your entire body in respect to those thoughts. So what is happening here in our minds affects our bodies. And as I just said, just a very example, if you think of that day that you were wrong or someone did something really bad to you, you get all like worked up, you know, your body changes. You might just get angry and even be verbally saying something about that day or moment that something happened. What you think affects your whole body. Every time you meditate on a thought, it is actively changing your brain and your body in either a positive or a destructive way. Okay, so thoughts cannot just be unhealthy or bad for you. It can also have a positive effect. It can also be good to you. Okay, so let us think about those happy memories. The day your first child was born, the day you got married, the day you got filled with the Holy Spirit, the day maybe there was a very special anniversary or a birthday or someone gave you a gift. When you think of those things, you know, 1, 2, 3, and you fall asleep. You feel at peace. You feel maybe biblical things, the way you know that God loves you. The revelation that you have of what Jesus did on the cross and how he paid the price in your place, okay? Things, those type of things will give us rest and it will give us peace. So here's the thing. If your thoughts are positive and godly, your emotions will be the same. If your thoughts are negative and sinful, your emotions will be the same. If your thought life is a mess, your life and health will be a mess. As I said, I'm not a medical doctor, but just from my own medical doctor, am I still okay? Yeah, okay. So just from my own experience, we know, and these wonderful books, I think Mind Siege, from Tim LaHaye and Bait of Satan from John Bevere, books that help us how to cope with stuff that happened into life. Because I can tell you, when I was in the world and I wasn't a Christian, I got hurt and offended. And guess what? In my past 15 years in the church, I also got hurt and offended a few times. But now I've got better tools to deal with that. Now I know better how it's bad to me. Because there's a small, still voice on the inside that will tell me, I cannot hate Lionel. He's a good Englishman. I mean, a good man. Okay, Lionel, thanks for listening. Okay? So I want to encourage you this morning to think about what you are thinking about. You need to think about what you are thinking about. Some statistics tells us that we have almost 30,000 thoughts a day, stuff that's happening to us, okay? Because through our senses, what we see, what we feel, what we smell, the touch and all those type of things, all this information comes to our wonderful brains. And to me, the moment I start to read about our bodies, our brains, the way we have been put together, I just want to bow my knee and say all the glory to God for giving me an amazing body that functions in a way that the best designer in this world couldn't design, okay? That God has gifted us with. I mean, if you go and read a little bit, and he's maybe a bit of food for thought, you know, do we use most all our brain capacity or don't we? It seems that research is suggesting that we are actually using a very small percentage of our mental capabilities, okay? And that is why they say our brains doesn't age, it just matures, okay? I've just seen my dad, he's retired for the past 10 years, and he probably read more in the past 10 years than in his whole academic life. He's got more time now, and he enjoys it. And whenever he opens his mouth, it's just a lot of information that he wants to share because he's remembering those things, okay? Scripture says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, "For as he calculates in his soul, so is he." We can translate it also, "As a man thinks in his heart, so does he become." Church, if there's anger, hatred, resentment, evil things in our hearts, in our thoughts, okay, it might lead even to bad words or bad actions. If we look at the crime and the brokenness and stuff that happens in society, you know, when you, by the time you read something in a newspaper, there was an action. But most of those things doesn't just happen in the spur of the moment. It happens by thoughts. We think about stuff. And what we think about, that is the things we become. That's the stuff that we are. Paul makes it so clear here. And he says we should set our minds on the things above. The minds, everything, our thoughts, the things we think about, we should set it on the things above. He says in verse 5, and he says it because we have died to this life, so we shouldn't, our flesh shouldn't have any desire for worldly things anymore. In verse 5, he says, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly into you, in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry." We know also in Galatians chapter 5 on the fruits of the Spirit, Paul gives us a very clear picture of the fruits of the Spirit and also the opposite, which is the fruits that Christians shouldn't have. Okay? So those things we should put to death. I want to continue and I want to read to you, and I believe it's really interesting, so please follow. It says, the research says that your brain is made up of nerves. Each nerve looks like a tree. It has a trunk called the axon and branches called dendrites. You are taking in information from your environment around you all the time through your five senses, which we said is look and smell and hearing and those tasting. And the information from all five senses is pouring into your brain. It's happening all the time. Your brain is processing and storing this information by building branches on the nerves in your brain. Might sound a little bit technical, but please follow here. A new branch is made for every new piece of information. Proteins are made and used to grow new branches to hold the information from your thoughts. This process is called protein synthesis. Okay? Memory is the information stored in the branches of the nerves. And here comes the more important parts now. As you continue to meditate on a particular thought, new branches grow. The connections between those branches and the nerves get stronger, and the memory becomes permanent. Okay? So those things, if I drive in town and I see 50 cars with number plates, my brain tells me I don't have to memorize all of that. I don't have to ponder on that. I don't have to build it here into my memory. But certain other things, my brain will tell me, my intellect and everything will tell me, this is important. I need to take note. I need to take a note, make a note of this. Now, you know, as we study scripture, or when you study academically, or you read or anything, the more that you read something, the more that you go back to that thought, the more that thing is cemented in your mind. As I said, if you think about your salvation or whatever in your life, the more you, maybe a person or something, the more you think about it, the more vivid, the more clear that thought is. All those useful things, it comes in and goes out, and it's in a sense, it becomes hot air. It's not something that your mind wants to remember. Thus, the more you meditate on a thought, the more you reinforce it. The more branches you have on a particular nerve, the stronger or more intelligent that memory is. Please hang in. I'm going somewhere. The quality of the information or memory stored in your brain depends on the quality of your thought life. I want to read it again. The quality or the information or memory stored in your brain depends on the quality of your thought life. Okay? It's almost the way we eat as well. You know, is it healthy food or unhealthy food? Is it the things above or the things below that we think about? Is it healthy and good for you, or is it poison and toxic type of things that you think about? Okay? And as I said, I want you to be really honest with yourself and to hold it before you, to think about what you are thinking about, to analyze what you are thinking about. If you are meditating on thoughts of fear, anxiety, self-hatred, low self-esteem, rejection, guilt, condemnation, bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, rage, resentment, all those type of things, and so forth, your brain is full of toxic memories that will actually be making you sick. And the correlation, and I'm not going to say too much about that this morning, but it seems that research suggests that there's a huge correlation between what's happening in our minds and what we think and what is happening in our bodies. And there's a direct correlation between toxic thoughts and sickness in our bodies. Okay? And as I said, I just know if I lay awake at night and I'm fighting with someone in my head, maybe my wife, hopefully not my wife, I can't fight with her for too long, but you know, and your mind is running and you don't get sleep and you really feel anger, the next morning, you know, I feel miserable. I feel down and I feel bad, and I just feel, because those things are toxic. And you know, the sad thing is, when we believe lies, whenever someone say to you, maybe as a child, and that is what Derek Buffett was sharing about last year as well, when someone say to you, you will never become someone. You're too small, you're too big, you're too this, you're too that. And someone in that sense curses you. And you take that thing and you start to believe that lie. It really messes with our minds. Because then we start to believe it. And the thing is, when that thing becomes a stronghold, I can tell you, sir, you are wonderfully made. You are great. But you might just feel like bad and useless or whatever because someone said it to you. And then we really need healing or deliverance and counseling to get us to not believe that lie. Because that's the thing. The enemy knows exactly how our thoughts work. And if he can occupy that, he's got a very long way of having control over us. Because our thought starts here and then it goes to our flesh. The things we do, our actions. Okay? And if he's got control there and our will isn't crucified or our flesh isn't crucified, you know, then it's a mess. Then we end up and we are really in a place of sickness. I want to continue reading. Once the information enters your brain in the form of an electrical current, it travels through various areas until it reaches your free will. Science has discovered an actual physical structure in your brain, which is your free will. It is situated at the front of your corpus callosum. Okay, now that's where I'm out of my depth. I just trust to believe what I read in terms of research, and I do believe it adds up biblically. It is situated at the front of your corpus callosum. The corpus callosum is the sausage-shaped area of your brain that you use to think and to meditate on and analyze information, okay? That is where we analyze good thought, bad thought, healthy thought, unhealthy thought, thought above or thought below. At the free will is where you decide to accept or reject a thought. I've asked you earlier, can we as the church, as Christians, sin? Can we have bad, unhealthy thoughts? Yes, we do. Okay? And this research, scientific research, tells us we've got a place called the free will. Obviously, actions happening there, etc. But I know I can, during the coffee break, I can decide coffee or tea. I can decide with or without sugar, etc. We know that when we leave church, we can make decisions. I can tell you I love you, or I can choose not to say that. Okay? We all know that. Amen? Okay? We do know that we've got a free will. So let me give you an example. Let's, for instance, let's say you battle with a bit of an eating disorder. So you see a chocolate, and there was a few guys very spontaneous and gave examples of chocolate in the Afrikaans service. So Manfred, what chocolate do you like? Oh, man, so there's our sinner for the day. Okay, you are the perfect example. We're going to pray for you afterwards, all the chocolate. Okay, so I'm going to use that as an example, and I want to read you an example. Say, okay, so you are the man struggling with a chocolate. Whenever you see that, you just cannot say no. You see the good-looking chocolate, and the information comes through your eyes as light waves that are then converted into electrical current in the nerves of your brain. The information is now in the form of a thought. Manfred is not yet eating the chocolate. He just sees the chocolate. He knows it's a chocolate. Your free will now has a choice. Is it going to allow your brain to meditate on that thought or that chocolate, or is your free will going to reject it? If you make a decision with your free will to reject that thought before you meditate on it or think on it, that information just becomes literally hot air. You say for that thing, it should go. I'm not going to think about chocolate. Therefore, that thought doesn't penetrate your mind any further. But now you've said no to the chocolate. And you think back again, chocolate. Oh, that nice chocolate. All those nice chocolates. Okay? And now Carol is maybe here saying, Manfred, where's your thoughts? And he's like, no, I'm praying, love. He's just thinking about that chocolate. The more he thinks about that chocolate, the more his body wants that chocolate. Okay? We all know, you can think of your own life where we battle with certain things that we know we need to say no to, but everything inside of you is shouting, yes, I want that chocolate. But see, this is where we've got a free will. This is where we've got an opportunity to make a decision to say, go thought or meditate on that thought, meditate, and then later, 10 o'clock at night, Manfred tells his wife, I really feel sick, but then he drives to the beer garage, and he buys himself all the chocolates he can afford. Okay, he eats all the chocolates, and then he's really in trouble. Now he's really feeling bad. Okay, that is how sin happens at the end of the day. Okay, but it starts here, where we've got a free will that God has given us. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. He will help us. He will say, Manfred, you can have a bit of chocolate, but not all the chocolates. That is bad for you. He will help us, and He will show us. He will guide us into all truth regarding this area. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 6, now here's the advice. Paul is not writing here to the church in Colossae anymore, but to the guys in Corinth. Let me read to you. From verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take captive, and take every thought captive to obey Jesus Christ. Okay? To obey Christ. And this is why I say I really agree with what medical research is telling us about our thoughts, telling us about our free will, Okay? Because Paul writes here and he says, every thought that you have, everything that comes in through your senses, okay, you should submit it to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I must say and I must ask, Lord, is this thought okay? Lord, Holy Spirit, can I be thinking about this? Is it good for me? Is it bad for me? We just said that the bad thoughts, those unhealthy things, thinking about anger, rage, offense, people that has hurt us or stuff like that. You know, we can ponder over those things, meditate on those things. And you know, those things can keep us awake. They will make us sick. They will be very bad to us in many ways. Or we know that the peace of Jesus Christ that surpasses all understanding on the opposite level of the spectrum is healthy for us. It helps us, okay? So Paul helps us here, and he gives us this excellent advice, biblical, because God probably just helped him with this thing in his own life. And it's something I'm sharing with you, not just something there theologically. It's everyday stuff that we all need to deal with. What do we do with our thought life? Where is our minds? Is it set on the things above? Are we seeking those things above actively? My friend Quinton was sitting here in the Afrikaans service, and on Tuesday morning, 5:30 at intercession, we were talking to each other, and he says, man, but he was really sleeping so well the previous night. He really didn't want to wake up. And I thought, like, well, I also didn't want to wake up. But you know, I took this active decision because I can, and said to my body, body, all 80 plus kilograms of you, you're going to get in the car and eat a little bit of yogurt before you go. Praise God, we weren't fasting in that sense, that I could eat a little bit of yogurt and drink a bit of coffee. You're going to go to intercession and you're going to pray now. It's not always nice, the waking up part. It's becoming winter. It's kind of cold. But you know what Quentin said, and that's the beautiful part that I can say in his absence. You know, he said, because it's such a blessing to be between believers, to pray together, to fellowship together. Business-wise, things are tough and challenging, and we're all in the world in a sense, okay? But when we pray together, when we yoke together, when we fellowship together, there's life and there's healing in those things, the things above that Paul is writing that we should be seeking. So if we look at verse 8, you can just probably quickly go there. I just want to read it. In verse 8, it says, but now you must put them all away. And then he goes on and explains, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talks from your mouth. Those things you should put away because you die to them. Those things belong to your old life. But guess what? Paul makes it so clear. He said, but now you must put them away. Not your small group facilitator, not your mom, your dad, the pastor, the person discipling you. You must put them away. How do you put them away? By a willful decision, by taking ownership, by saying, Lord Jesus, those type of thoughts will not be part of my life anymore. I put them under the feet of Christ. Lord Jesus, help me. Give me grace. Give me empowering grace to overcome, because the victory is in Jesus Christ. Okay? We can, through Christ, if we ask Him to help us in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you know, we will overcome. Is it easy? Is it something that happens without, I almost want to say, friction or opposition? No. It's tough. It's painful to crucify our flesh. It's painful to submit our thoughts to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Because we all sometimes like to think about stuff that is maybe nice to our flesh. Manfred, that chocolate, which you probably know, is it bad for him? He says, yes. I was looking at your wife. Carol, is it bad for him? Yeah, it's bad for him. Okay, well, that's there. We've got an example. We usually know what is bad for us. We know what is unhealthy for us. And the Holy Spirit will help us in this process. Okay? So you need to think about what you are thinking about. We need to bring our thoughts, our minds, because Paul says we should put our minds, we should set on the things above. Not just our bodies or anything. Paul uses in our Philippians. I can't remember now. Where is that? I think it's in Philippians. I might be wrong. Corinthians. I can't remember. But where Paul talks about disciplining his body, okay? Where he talks about the athlete running the race, etc. Paul will not discipline just his body, but not his mind, okay? Paul writes in Romans, Paul had this thing. He knew this thing. In Romans, obviously, Romans 12 verse 2, you know, about renewing our minds, bringing to think, to start to think like Christ, not to think like the world. And that is the whole challenge where Jesus should say to us, you should turn your cheek. We should learn to forgive like we are forgiven. And those things can only happen if our minds are submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, in our fleshly manner, we want to fight and we want to argue and we want to battle with a lot of stuff. But those are the things that we should put away. Paul says clearly that you should do it. The people in Colossae should do it. The people in Shofar Swakopmund should do it. Okay? Those are the things that we need to pursue. And church, I believe we can grow so much in this area. Because a church that's corporate mind is set on the things above is a strong, powerful church. A church praying about the things of Christ. You know, Jesus was there on the cross, hanging on the cross, full of pain and shame and all those type of things. And there was guys next to him. You know, the world probably saw those robbers or thieves, and they saw men that's going to die in a few minutes or hours. But Jesus, in one of them, saw someone that will enter paradise that same day. Okay? Jesus just had this obviously, he was Jesus Christ. He looked through a different perspective. And when our thoughts are renewed, when our thoughts are godly, and we look at the world, our people, our neighbors, society, problems, issues, we shouldn't look like the old man, the things that Paul said we should put to death. We should look in a new way to that. Okay? He wants us to do that. So, yeah, it's something that we should do. It's important that we crucify those thoughts. And Paul helps us so much. Here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, I want to read to you. He says so clearly the things of heaven, and this scripture, I believe, it's just a further interpretation of what we should put our thoughts on. It goes from verse 8. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and what is honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. He said, let your mind be filled with those things. Put your mind on those things. Focus on those things. Whenever that evil thought comes, whenever the chocolate comes, or you can think in your own life, that thing that you need to somewhere, sometimes you know you are dwelling or meditating on stuff that is not healthy for you, that is not biblical. We call it sin in the church, okay? Then we should take that thought captive. We should say, in the name of Jesus Christ, go. I take it captive. I put it under the feet of Jesus, and I said, I'm not going to ponder and meditate on it. Because science tells us, and we know that the more we think about that thing, the stronger it becomes. And the more we will lust after those things. And that is not the heart of the Father. That is not what the Holy Spirit will lead us into. Paul gives us here a beautiful advice in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, as I said. Put your mind on these beautiful things. Okay? And I believe a healthy mind reflects a healthy spirit. Okay? Important that we understand that. Also, something that you can maybe remember and take home, holiness produces wholeness. If our minds, our whole thought process, if that is sanctified, you know, and if there is a holiness, it will produce wholeness. There in the sin and all the sinful things in the world, that's the things that damage us. That's the things that Paul warns us against. Let me read to you from, I just want to read from a, he makes it so clear here in the things that we should put away: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire. We had Peter and Elaine Tron here in February, and they just gave this amazing teaching. And a lot of people, a lot of us, went to them for deliverance, where we actually had to be made free, where we had to be set free from stuff that happened in our lives, no matter how we got there, but that we need freedom. And as I said, those books of Tim LaHaye, Battlefield of the Mind, those type of books, it's important that we understand, as I said, that when the enemy gets control of the thought processes here and then it goes to our, and our will doesn't say no, and it's the wrong right way around, you know, then we are really in trouble, because then we really live in sin. Then those things really become stuff that we battle with, and it's really, really unhealthy for us. So I want to start ending off just by summarizing very quickly. If you go, maybe when you're at home and you read through this passage, chapter 3, verse 1 to 15, Paul says, he says that we should seek the things that are above, to set our minds on the things above. Then in verse 5, he says, put to death the earthly things in you. Put those things to death. Ask Jesus Christ that it will not be part of our lives. That is discipleship. That is sanctification. In verse 8, Paul says, but now you must put them away. How do we put them away? Well, we spoke about your thoughts. We spoke about your free will. We spoke about taking thoughts captive. You can either embrace that thing that comes in through your senses and meditate on it, think about it. And the more you go through that process of meditating and thinking about it, the more it becomes part of you. Or if that bad thought comes in, something that you see that you know is bad for you, you can say in the name of Jesus Christ, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to see that picture again. Lord Jesus, take it out of my life. Okay? Satan, I resist you. Scripture says then he will flee from us. So resist him in your thought life as well. Don't ponder on those thoughts. And then in verse 12, Paul says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Then he goes to verse 15, what is such a precious verse to me. In verse 15 he says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let it rule in your hearts. Let it rule in your minds. Let it rule in your thoughts life. Let we take those thoughts captive. Let us continually and habitually set our minds on the things above. Let that be the things we pray about, the things we want to talk about, the things, you know, that we will be like a little fountain of the things above, and continually just talking about those things, sharing about those things. And we all know that it does take a lot of discipline. Sometimes we will get it wrong, and some of those, let's call it evil thoughts, will enter our heart. And then we need to say, Lord Jesus, take that thing, root it out, get it out from my heart, get it out from my mind. I don't want to go there. I don't want to think about it. Maybe someone said something towards you, and then we need to make a willful decision. We need to make a decision to say, I'm not going to let that thing penetrate me. I'm not going to let it hurt me in that sense. I'm going to take it captive. So I hope that will help us a little bit when we think about setting our minds on the things above, that it's not just something there airy-fairy, that our minds is something with a will, something where we can make decisions, and that our minds and thoughts should be something that we do and entertain in a sense for the glory of God, that it will make us as a church stronger, that we will grow into that. And as I said, it does take a lot of discipline. It, as Paul says, he disciplines his body. It's not something you wake up in the morning and then you think, oh, I'm going to have a wonderful, healthy thought life, okay? We will continuously have to fight and to say, I reject that thought. I'm not going to allow this. I've seen something. I've heard something. My children are 10 years old and slowly but surely starting to listen to music. And now when I'm a believer and a bit older, I listen to some of the stuff I used to listen to. I know it's bad for you. It's most of the rock and roll, what type of music, man, it kills you. If you've, just to be honest, sometimes in a public place, I will stand in a certain shop and I want to leave that shop just because of the spirit behind the music and the words. It's like, I can't listen to this. And it's not a type of music. It's the spirit behind it. It sounds maybe very spiritual, but those things take children, especially younger people, it takes us captive. It messes us around because the things, music has a way to repeat itself. Because what do we want to do? We want to repeat that words. We want to sing those words. And then it in a sense, become part of you. But if you're not a spiritual, discerning Christian, you don't know how unhealthy those things are. And I believe many times that's the first seed of the enemy, of taking our minds captive. Amen. We're not going to allow that. Amen. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, we want to come as a church, Lord, and we want to come as individuals, Lord God, and yes, Father God, we just want to bring our minds to you this morning, Lord God. And Father, I pray that you will be Lord, that you will be King over our lives, but over our thought lives, over our minds and our hearts, Lord, that we will protect our hearts, Lord God, that we will listen to Paul's advice, what he was writing to this church in Colossae, Lord God, that we will continue to say to ourselves, Holy Spirit, help us to set our minds on the things above and not on the things of this world, not the things that is temporal, not the things that is evil or sinful. Father, we've heard that how evil, sinful, toxic thoughts, Lord God, can kill us in a sense, Lord God, how it can even cause disease, stomach pain, stomach ulcers, so many things, Lord God, how it can make us negative, how it can steal our sleep, Lord God. Father, I pray that you'll give us, yes, Lord God, that you'll strengthen our wills, Lord God, that our will be under the blood of Christ, that our will be under the lordship of Christ, that you will help us, Lord God, no matter how entertaining or sweet a thought might look, Lord God, that if it's not from you, Lord God, that we will take it captive, Lord God, and literally put it in the rubbish bin, Lord God, that it will not be something, Lord God. And Father, we all know that in our lives, our workplaces, our families, Lord God, that we are sometimes confronted, Lord God, and we want to react by fighting or so forth, Lord. But Holy Spirit, help us here. Lead us into the truth. Thank you that you are so willing that when we submit our lives to you and we say that you should lead us, that you will show us what is unhealthy in our lives. Father, I pray that we can be honest with ourselves and that we can, yes, Lord God, actually go and analyze what we are thinking about, what we are filling our thoughts. And I just pray this morning for myself and for us as a church that we will be full of love and peace and joy and kindness, Lord God, that we will be full of self-control. Lord, that we will continuously, Lord God, discipline our bodies and discipline our minds until we just become more and more like Jesus Christ. Amen. So, just something in the previous service when Daryl was sitting here and he raised his hand and he said, now what if I'm 70 years old? And I said, well, it's never too late. You know, you can go and do research many times when you stop an unhealthy habit, how quickly your body reacts to, let's say, the new way. There's amazing research that I don't have the time to share now, but the moment we start to renew our thoughts, the moment that we put it under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, now, how we can testify that we actually receive healing. So I just want to say it's never too late. That 1,000-mile journey starts with the first step. Maybe you are here this morning And this is actually a ministry part. Maybe you've been thinking all your life about yourself, about your parents, about your children, your job, what you can do or what you can't do in a certain way. Maybe it's so cemented that you think, many times we will hear people say, but that's just the way I am. No. It's the way you choose to be, okay? There's nothing like that, okay? Yes, God gives us certain characteristics and He designed us. But when it comes to bad habits or sin or anything, we can never say, yeah, but that's the way I am. That's saying, I'm not willing to change. The moment we take that first step and we say, Lord, I know it's a 1,000-mile journey, but I know I need to walk this thing. Okay, that moment when we have that humility to say, Lord, I actually have a lot of sinful thoughts. I actually meditate or I look at a lot of nonsense. The moment we are honest and we say, Lord Jesus, start to help us. I promise you, it will be painful, but it will be worth it. Okay? Paul just had the heart of Christ. He had the mind of Christ. He wants us to live and to think with the mind of Christ. Not that old man, because he says we are dead to that. If you are here this morning and you feel there's stuff that keeps you captive, you are willing, I would love to pray with you this morning. Sometimes it's a road that we need to walk. Sometimes it's a process of counseling or deliverance or healing or discipleship where we renew our minds. I didn't even spoke about that part too much, but we should continuously renew our minds and take these things captive. So I really believe it's good advice from Paul. It's biblical. So you go and live it, and you go and ask God to help you. The Holy Spirit can give you so much more than I can. I can just make you laugh, hopefully, once or twice.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.